and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners."
Morning. Great to see everybody. It must be summertime. The reason I say that, not because it's hot outside, but we just got lots of folks who are traveling today. But we're glad you're here. Didn't we have a great week last week at our Friends and Family Day? Tony Holt did a wonderful job teaching and preaching, and we had lots of friends and family with us and had a great fellowship meal. We were talking about it in our class time that we could have fed twice as many people as was here. Food everywhere, which was a wonderful thing. And thank you for that and for inviting folks and for coming and us just having a great time to be together and to worship and to fellowship last week. That was a lot of fun. Will Malugin, affectionately known for us as Wilma, spent the week with us at the lake, which we thoroughly enjoyed. I have to tell you, Wilma is a fisherman. You might not think, but Will can bring them in. That's all I got to say. We've been going to the lake. We've been several times, not caught many fish. We went with old Will, and there's not as many in the lake as there was. He did a good job. He's a nice young man. Wilma, thank you for reading that. And it's not offensive. He is Will Malugin. And for a long time, we didn't know if he was Will Malugin or Wilma Lugin, and so we just chose Wilma, and that gets it all done. And he takes that very well. But we had a good time, enjoyed being off. Thanks to everybody taking care of things for us. But we had a good time. Like I say, if you want to catch some fish, take Will with you, and he's quiet, which is such an anomaly in my family that it stands out. Welcome this morning to the Milton Hospital. Yeah, I got some of you to look up. Yeah, the Milton Hospital. Do you think about the church being a hospital? That's what I want us to talk about a little bit today, that we actually are a hospital, and we have similarities to a hospital, and we should. And what's very interesting is, have you ever heard anybody stand outside of a hospital and say, "I'm not going in there because there's sick people there"? Now, maybe they don't want to go because the flu's going around. I get that. But I'm talking about, if I'm sick, well, I can't go in there. The people in there are sick. Well, of course they're sick. Why else did they go? Who wants to vacation at the hospital? Now, I spent 2 weekends in a row in the 7th floor penthouse there of the hospital, looking out, watching the sunrise over Short Mountain. You know, it's just not my preference. They were nice to me, but that's not my preference to be there. We go for a reason, right? Because we or someone we know is sick, and we go there for treatment. So, of course, there's sick people in the hospital because it's just not the Embassy Suites. It's not the place you just make a reservation and say, "I'm going," because it's 3 decent meals a day, and you push a button and you get room service and all the attention that you want, and they got a decent TV. That seems a little absurd because we know the purpose. But the same thing's true about the church. We're a church made up of people who are sick, but why do we go to a hospital? To get better. Right? And that's important. We go to get better. And the church is the same thing. We should be a place where we come for healing and for treatment and for support. And just like we would never stand outside the hospital and say, "I'm not going in there even though I'm sick because there are sick people there," we shouldn't stand outside the church and say, "I'm not going to church because there are sinners there." Because we are all sinners. If we weren't, there'd be no reason for the church. There'd be no reason for it to exist, right? We're here because we're all sinners. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, but we go to a hospital to get better. If you don't want to get better, no reason to go to the hospital, right? Now, I understand sometimes we go to a hospital just for comfort. And sometimes it gets that way at the church. But for our point, we go for treatment and to get better. If you're not going to do what the doctors say, if you're not going to take the treatments to get better, is there any reason to go to the hospital? No, there's not. Y'all can answer this. I understand it's been hot. It was hot yesterday, but it's pleasant in here. It's cool. It's nice. You don't have to look, you know, completely. Nobody is asleep, but just blank looks. Like, maybe you don't understand where I'm going with this analogy. But we go to the hospital to get better. The reason I say that, when we come to the church, there's an acknowledgement that we're sinners, but we come to get better. And that's really important. Because we don't just come to live with what we have. We come to get better. And that's what the Lord calls us to the church. Because there's healing here. The blood of Jesus heals us. Heals us of our sins and its pains and its complications and its punishment. But we don't need to continue in the sickness. We need to come for healing. And we use the term repentance to change our way of life, to walk in God's ways, to walk in holiness. And we don't just come for an inoculation, for a vaccine, for a shot. And don't we like shots and pills that kind of solve the problems? Now, most of us don't like shots. As a general rule, we're not wild about shots. Now, some of you may not mind, but as a general rule, we're just not excited about getting a shot every day. Or when we have to go to the doctor. And sometimes we won't even tell the kids they're going to get a shot, right? And when you're getting a shot, are you like me? I don't watch the needle go in. I keep talking and I turn my head that way. And they'll pinch on the skin some so you don't feel it, right? Isn't that what shots are about? But we really like shots. You remember Dr. Shacklett. Any of y'all go to Dr. Shacklett? David is waving his hands in the back. What was his nickname? Two Shot Shacklett. Or Three Shots, what I always heard. Three Shot Shacklett. Right? Nobody likes a shot, but why would you go to Dr.? Because three shots, he had you over whatever you had. Three shots, I'm going to Three Shot Shacklett. Because what do we want? We want over it, and we want it quick, and we want it easy. So even though we don't like shots, people go to Three Shot to get their shot and get over it. Or we get vaccines. We don't necessarily like it. And my dad tells the story of when he went to boot camp in 1952. He said they would walk you through, and that's when they had the shots that didn't use a needle. You know, it would inject with, the air, you know. And he said, you just walk through, and they were popping you on both sides. But he said, I walked through, and he said, when I got through, he said, I just passed out on the other side. But we get vaccines, we get shots to keep us from disease. And sometimes we think the church, and especially baptism, is just an inoculation. Let's talk about that. No inoculation is perfect. Not even baptism. Now let me hear this. When I talk about baptism here, I'm talking about in the fullness of faith in God. I'm not talking about a bath. I'm talking about someone who in a response of faith is baptized for the remission of their sins. Now, does baptism cleanse us of sin? Yes. But does it allow us to continue to walk in sin without getting it on us? Absolutely not. But sometimes that's what we like, right? I'll tell you a story, and I still remember it from 40 years ago. No, yeah, 40, 37, 40 years ago. I remember a guy getting in trouble in the hallway at school. And we had a teacher in those days who was not a great disciplinarian. He just didn't have the students' respect. But I'm still in elementary school, probably fifth or sixth grade at the time. And so, you know, I would have never thought about talking back. Oh, I would have thought about talking back to a teacher, but I wouldn't have done it, okay, at that point in time in life. And I can remember being out in the hall and questioning him, and this guy got in trouble, and I can't even remember who it is, and I ain't going to tell you. But saying, the explanation came down to, why did you do it? Because my friends were doing it. Okay? And the teacher said, if they stuck their head in the fire, would you do it? He said, yeah, I'd get me an asbestos helmet and I'd do it. Which I'm telling you, it was just the total loss of discipline, which is what I remember. But that's sometimes what we want from the church, from baptism, from faith, to be able to play in the fire without getting burned. Right? We get an inoculation so that we can continue to be exposed to the disease without getting the consequences. For those of us who are in the livestock business at any level, cattle, goats, sheep, those things, we inoculate. My cattle see doctors more than I do. But we also understand that while those vaccines are valuable, keeping the disease load and exposure down is important. Don't bring in sick animals when you're calving. Keep them dry. Keep them clean to prevent scours, even though you vaccinated. Because those vaccines help, but they don't, you don't expose them to the disease unnecessarily. The reason I give you all that explanation, all that discussion is, as Christians, we're called not to walk in sin, but to walk in the light. And while the blood of Jesus cleanses us, we've been called to holiness. Right? Because in God there is no darkness at all. And so, the thought, the philosophy that Paul even addresses was, well, the more we sin, the more apparent grace is, and God is glorified in His grace. And Paul says, we don't sin that grace may abound. We don't sin willfully, knowingly, continually, even though all of us are imperfect, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us, but we come to God to get better, to repent, to walk in a different way, not to walk in sin, but to walk in holiness, thankful for the forgiveness that we receive through Jesus. I want to remind us, why did Jesus go to the cross? For sin. For sin. For the sins of the world, but I want us to be more personal. Jesus went to the cross for you and me. Jesus died a very painful death, very humiliating death. It was physically, emotionally, spiritually painful. Painful for me and for you. Now, I know Jesus has already done that for us. But every time that we sin without thinking about the price that was paid for our forgiveness, at what great cost to heaven that sin was, every time we take sin lightly, we just pass it off, we excuse it, we say, well, I know this is not what God wants, but I'm going to do it. We're not appreciating what Jesus did for us. Can you imagine giving your life for somebody? Or let me give you a greater one than that. Can you imagine giving the life of one of your children for somebody and them just not appreciating the vastness of that cost? Just imagine that. Just imagine that. And for us, knowing the truth of God and to continue to participate, to take sin lightly, is not respecting and appreciating what God the Father and God the Son have done for us. We come for healing and for cleansing, not to go back and wallow in the mud, not to go back and eat our vomit, but to walk with God in a repentant way. And there's healing. And aren't we thankful for it? Yeah, we're thankful for it. It is a wonderful thing that we can be healed because we're all sinners. I want us to understand that. We're all in the hospital because we're sinners. But we're working to get better. We're not going back and doing the things that we used to do that scarred us and hurt us. But we're walking to the best of our ability with the help of the Spirit of God, in a godly way. Jesus is eating with tax collectors and with sinners. I knew you'd get a thrill out of that. Every time I tell you, this never gets old, picking at the tax collectors, does it? Never gets old. But He's eating with tax collectors. And people ask, why is He eating with those people? That's their question. Why is he eating with them? Because they were not people that you ate with. And when we're talking about sinners, I'm not talking about, yes, we're all sinners and we get that. I'm talking about the local prostitute or the local cheat that everybody knew. You can't, they'll steal you blind. And when it comes to tax collectors, I know we hate taxes. I get it. I'm reminded constantly. But that really wasn't the big issue for them. It was that they did things illegally. If you don't, if you hate paying your tax bill that's accurate, how would you like it if you knew the tax man was sticking it to you for his own benefit? You talk about making money. But the bigger issue even than that was they were traitors. They had aligned themselves with the Romans, with the enemy. So it wasn't just about money, and it wasn't about a government that I had any say. It was like, these people have forsaken us and sided with the intruders, with the enemies, with the pagans. So there's all kind of hatred and reasons for despising them. And so the question is, Jesus, why would you eat with these folks who notoriously are no good? And Jesus said, because as a physician, one who brings healing, I'm not just about wellness exams. I'm about healing those who are sick, those who need it. Jesus came that we might be healed, and then Jesus and God have called us to be about spreading the good news, sharing the good news that there is healing for the disease of sin and its devastating consequences. There is healing in the blood of Jesus for those who repent and believe and know that God is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And for those who are willing to repent and not walk in the ways of the world, but to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, that there is healing. There is healing. So the church is a hospital. Hospital. But not a place for hypocrites, but a place for the sick. And the reason I say that is, we shouldn't play church. We shouldn't play like we want to get better. This is for a place for people who truly are seeking God's ways. We're going to be imperfect. We're going to stumble. We're going to sin. But we don't excuse that. We just keep stepping every day in the paths of God. Not a place for hypocrites, but for sincere believers striving to be like the Father. And thankful for the sacrifice of the blood of Jesus, because there is healing from the disease of sin and the consequence, which is death. That's right. We're all coming in the hospital terminal and all living, able to live eternally. That's the truth of the matter, isn't it? Do you think of it that way? It's going in and saying, I'm looking for hospice. And coming to the cure, which is the blood of Jesus, saying, I'm not looking for hospice. It's not like, well, you know, if I don't get killed in a car wreck on the way home from the hospital, I'm going to live forever as an heir of eternal life. And not just live forever, not live forever in pain, sickness, sorrow, and stress, but live forever in the presence of God in a perfect place that God has designed for those of us He created in His own image. You think St. Jude does great things? It ain't nothing compared to the hospital, which is the church, which is the family of God, where there is healing. God calls us to be holy, to appreciate the fact that there is forgiveness, and to turn from the ways of the world and to walk in the paths of God. And He calls us to share it, to share the good news that there is healing from the sin of, from the disease of sin and its consequences, that we don't have to fear death, but we can look forward to eternal life, where we can share joys and bear burdens, but come knowing that we have an all-powerful God who has shed His life on the cross that we might have life eternal with Him. Church, that's what we need to be about sharing. That's what we need to be about living. If you're not a Christian today, the consequences of sin are death. But Jesus died on a cross for you that you might be forgiven. If you are a Christian, you know you've not walked in the steps of God. That you have really not esteemed the sacrifice of the cross. That you have treated really faith and baptism as an inoculation from the consequences, and you still want to walk in the darkness. Maybe today's the day to publicly say, I'm coming out in the light. I'm going to walk in God's ways, because I'm not coming to walk close to the disease, but I'm getting as far away as I can, thankful for what God has done with me. And for all of us, we need to go out to our families, to our community, to our workplace, and our social gatherings with the good news that there's healing. Not the news that we're better than you are, but the news that we're in a hospital because we're sick, but we have found the cure for the disease, and that is the grace of God and the blood of Jesus, and that there is plenty of the medicine to go around, that there is no shortage of room at the foot of a cross for those who come and want to get better. If you need to respond today, would you do that while we stand and sing?